Our gospel lesson this morning comes from the gospel according to St. Luke from the 12th chapter, from the 49th to the 56th verse. Let us listen together for the word of the Lord. I have come to bring fire on the earth, and how I wish it were already kindled. But I have a baptism to undergo. How distressed I am until it is completed. Do you think I come to bring peace on earth?
No.
I tell you, but division. From now on, there will be five against one, family divided against each other, three against two, and two against three. They will be divided. Father against son, and son against father, mother against daughter, and daughter against mother, mother-in-law against daughter-in-law, and daughter-in-law against mother-in-law. This is the word of the Lord. Not too many thanks be to God this morning for that particular passage. I have a little story to share with you this morning. This one is true. Remember, I tell you when I don't think it is, because this is something that happened to myself in our youth group when I was in Methodist Youth Fellowship. Way back in, I forget the date now, I was in my junior year in high school, and I was vice president of the senior MYF. Back in those days, we had a youth group. We had 40 in the junior youth group, and we had 38 in the senior high youth group. And that's in a small town church. Well, it seems one of the members of our MYF had gotten to know an older woman, probably in her late 70s, early 80s. She was living in a rundown shack outside of town. I don't know her name, but we're gonna call her Mary. I can't remember her name. The MYF found out about it when one of the members told us. And we decided we'd try and help. She told us that the house was in desperate need of paint. Something with the plumbing in the kitchen sink wasn't working right. The roof leaked, and there were some holes right through the walls. And we decided we could do that. My cousin and my brother and I had worked constructions, and we were all in the MYF. And there were several who said they could paint and were willing to clean. And so we got permission, and we went to help her. We bought the paint. We bought a few other things. It seemed that the sink problem was that there was just a plastic pipe running out the back wall, and the water was supposedly going to some kind of cesspool. That would be rocks in the ground covered with dirt. And it stopped working. So we replaced it. We knew how to do that. We fixed one of the locks on the door. We were able to patch the roof. Painting was done, the house was clean, and it was really quite a nice little place. It took us, I don't know, 6 or 7 weekends that summer to accomplish it. And we had the most marvelous time and the most marvelous experience doing that. And it was just wonderful. But there's an old saying, no good deed ever goes unpunished. We thought we were doing the right thing, and we thought everything would be just perfect. But a week or so after we were finished, we received word that the owner of that ramshackle shack who rented it to this woman raised the rent because it had been remodeled. She didn't have the money to pay the rent. And it wasn't long before she was going to have to move. And we felt terrible. We thought it probably would have been better just to leave it as it was, and she would have had a place to live. Now it looked like she might be homeless. We didn't know what to do. We felt terrible. My brother, who's a Spitfire, he's no longer with us. He passed away a few years ago. Was going to the man who owned the shack and was gonna blast him. He caught him one day in town and he started, and I kind of dragged him away. You see, the man who raised the rent was the richest man in town. He owned a construction company, he owned a mill. He had all the money in the world, everything he'd ever need, except that $20 more a month that he was going to get from Mary. I dragged him away because I knew that he was my brother away because I knew he was a vindictive man. I figured at some place down the road he'd get my brother. He probably would have if I hadn't dragged him away. It was just a terrible, terrible thing. And some of us kind of cried to God, why did you let us do it? How come it happened? We did it because of our faith, and look at the mess we've made. But God wasn't done yet. There's a little bit more to the story. It was a month or so later, and she had moved out, and we didn't know where she'd gone, and we discovered that the woman who took her to the grocery store week after week after week and invited her to come and live with her. So she had a place with someone she knew and someone who cared for her. And a couple of weeks later, that old shack burned down. God wasn't done. Now I'll tell you, he never got a penny of rent for that place. However, I'm sure he made a profit on insurance. People who have lots of money don't like to lose money, and I'm sure he had insurance. In this morning's gospel lesson, I took a few notes this morning, so please forgive me. A tough passage. Mother will disagree with daughter, and mother and daughter will disagree with mother-in-law, and brother will disagree with brother, and son with father. And Jesus said, I didn't come to bring peace. Well, why do we worship this God? Got that figured out yet? The story isn't complete with just that part of the passage. It seems to me what Jesus is doing in this morning's gospel lesson is warning people that there will be conflict. There'll be conflict in families. There'll be conflict between countries. There'll be conflict between neighbors. There'll be conflict between landlords and tenants. It's going to be there. But the conflict is not the end of the story. The conflict Jesus is talking about is the conflict that will bring one to Jesus. And eventually, perhaps a whole family would turn to Jesus, even though they had fought with one another and things would be better. In this morning's lesson from Hebrews, it's a talk about faith. This happened because of faith. That happened because of faith. Any of you ever tasted wild grapes? Nice, aren't they? Oh, wonderful. A man planted a vineyard. Of grapes, and he got wild grapes, and it was a difficult thing for him, because he didn't like the wild grapes very much. I don't know if you can make wine from wild grapes. I never tried that. You probably could, but you probably have to add all kinds of sweetener. And he, of course, the main reason for grapes in that time was to make wine, because the water wasn't very good around there. You plant a garden, you have certain expectations, and they don't come forth. But it's not always the end of the story. For eventually, the man was to come to realize that he needed faith in order to have the vineyard produce grapes and not wild grapes. Have you had any wild grapes in your life? Things that you thought were going to be wonderful, things that you had worked on, things that you thought about and hoped would be marvelous. And when you went to pick the crop, whatever that might be, we'll use that as a metaphor, the grapes taste just terrible. But that's never the end of the story. There's always God, the one who created the heavens and the earth, the one that sent his Son to save us. And when we reach that point where we turn our lives over to God through Jesus Christ, the grapes get sweeter and life gets better. What's the worst thing that could happen to you in your life? Can you imagine? I can't. There are varieties of things, but we need to remain faithful through the difficult times. God will touch our hearts through Christ and bring us back together. This past week, Carol and I, if you don't know, Carol and I were moving this past week, and thanks to some of you who volunteered, but we had it fairly well under control because we had a mover coming to pick up the stuff after we packed it. Then came the dealing with the electric company. And I called and I got everything set up, and we were promised that Wednesday or Thursday, by 5 o'clock there would be electricity in our new place. Went up at 5 o'clock and turned on the lights and was ready to go. We even had the washer and dryer moved up there, so we thought we could do a wash so wouldn't have to go to the laundromat. And we turned on a light and there was no light. So there was no electricity and there was no washer. 8 calls later to the electric company, and we still had no power. Every time I called, of course, I got a different person. So they had to go and look it up on the computer and see what the note was there and see what had been done. And that usually took 5 or 10 minutes. And then each one of them told me, you need to go to the meter box. On the meter box, there's a switch. They may have forgotten to turn the switch on. Well, first of all, I didn't know where the meter box was. It took me 2 hours to find it. I had a serial number, but I had to go up and down the whole road, and there are a number of mobile homes on that road, and there are poles with 2, 3, 4, and 5 meters on them, and I had to look at each one and squint and see the number to find out my meter. I finally found it. I was pretty lucky. The person who sold us the mobile home couldn't find it. So I went over and I looked. There was no switch. What now? I walked away And I took Malin's advice. And I said, okay, Lord, this is yours now. I've heard you say that more than once. And I walked away. I did make one more call just to find out if there was any possibility that someone could come out and look at it to see what was wrong. And they said they'd send the meter person out to look at the meter. Then I said, could you ask him to call me when he arrives so I could be there and see what's going on? And they said, oh no, he won't do that. I said, okay, it's yours, Lord. He finally started, I guess, driving towards our place, and he called the office and asked them to call me and be there. He won't call, but the office can call. So I went and I waited 10, 15 minutes. He got there. He went over. He went up to the meter, and there was a piece of metal on the side of the meters that were all together. And on the bottom of that, you could hit a button and pop that up. And inside were the switches. I'm sure glad he was there, because even if I had lifted that, I wasn't sticking my hand up in there. It was raining. He got it, he pulled the switch, and within 10 or 15 minutes, we found that we had lights. I felt much better when I gave it over to God, even though I couldn't resist calling them at least one more time. And it worked out. How many times have you said, okay, Lord, it's yours, and walked away, kind of forgotten about it, and it kind of turned out the way you hoped it would be? It won't always be, because God doesn't always want us to do what we're doing. But it sure is possible to start out to do the right thing and have it end up coming out wrong. But then, as long as we can turn it over to God, it will come out right for us, whatever God may decide. Is there something troubling you today? Has it been a bad week, a bad month, a bad year? Are things not going right? Turn it over to God. You may not get everything you planned for, because that may not be God's plan for you. But if you turn it over to God, you certainly can get rid of the stress and the pain and the sorrow, because God will take care of that. That's God's promise to you through His Son, Jesus Christ. I've always thought that if you pray to God, you get whatever you want. And one year I applied for a job in a church that's prior to going to seminary to be a paid youth leader. And I prayed several times and I was sure I would get the job, and I didn't get it. But then I thought about it. There were 15 people praying to God for that job. It couldn't all be youth leaders at that church. We won't always get what we want. But again, I turned that over to God, and God had a different plan. 3 years later, I was in seminary. And 3 years later, I was serving a church. God's plan for our lives is God's plan for our lives, and God will have it done. When we pray, pray, oh Lord, help me. I turn my pain and my sorrow over to you, that I may have a life worthy of your love. Will you pray with me? Ever-living God, I thank you for this day, for our chance to be together. We thank you for your word. As we note, when we go through the scriptures, there are many things that happen to many people. but if they can turn the bad things over to you, O Lord, life is better. We can do the same. Help us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.